Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
Thank you, Jesus. This is year 5777, the year, Hebrew year, Jubilee. But we know that Jesus is our, say it, Jubilee. Say, Jesus is my Jubilee. So this message works next year. This message works in 10 years. This message works in 100 years if the Lord Jesus tarries, which I doubt seriously he will. Jubilee is the time that debts are canceled, slaves are set free, family is restored. It's a time of restoration. Now, Jubilee is more than just a sabbatical year. It comes after the seventh sabbatical year, which would be 49. 7 times 7 is 49. Jubilee is the year after. So it's like when Jubilee comes, you get two sabbatical years in a row, and a lot happens. Jubilee is the Yovel, which is the ram's horn. And in previous teachings, we've learned that the ram's horn is actually the preaching and the declaring of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's go to our first scripture, Hebrews 4, verse number 9. And this is really speaking about Jesus, the fulfillment of our Jubilee. It says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor." Wow. It says about ceasing from labor to rest, and now it says, "Let us labor." Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Labor to rest. Labor to rest. Labor in this text means spadazzo, which I'm sure we really care. But it means this: to make earnest effort, to endeavor, to use speed. In this context, it means to give diligence to study. And this is a little review from last week. Give diligence to study. So we talked about how we enter into that rest is hear the ram's horn, which I won't preach that again today. It means to listen to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I showed you chapter and verse for everything I'm saying. You had to get the previous teachings on that. Last week, we said we have to hear the preaching of the anointed gospel. Not sermons. Anointed gospel. When you hear a message and something stirs within you, that is the anointing. Are you here? Amen. There's sermons that will razzle-dazzle your mind. I'm talking about something that causes a quickening in your spirit when you hear it. So we need to spend time in the Word of God. Here is the next verse, verse number 12. Let's look at that. Now we see it in context. We've quoted this so many times. For the Word of God is quick. It means it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, what does that have to do with studying the Word? The reason why we are stressed so many times is because we haven't gotten a word from God. I'm talking about where God breathes a word into your spirit. In all truth, as a born-again believer, we all have God speaking into our spirit. But the problem is our mind talks more than our spirit many times. And we wonder, is that me or is that God? Have you ever been there? I would say that that's the number one question that believers will ask. Will you judge this? Or do you feel this is God saying this to me? Or how do I know that it's God and not me? Now, he will establish our thoughts, but he does it through our spirit. Are you with me? God is a spirit. He relates to us spirit to spirit. The enemy cannot relate to us spirit to spirit. The enemy relates to us in the soulish realm, injecting thoughts. So in our mind, there are our thoughts and demonic thoughts. Are you here? Following me? But when we spend time, number one, hearing anointed preaching. Number two, spend quality time in the Word. It is a discerner of the intents of the heart. It separates the soul where we think and the enemy injects thoughts from the spirit. So God, as we're in the Word, and He is downloading His will, His purposes, His plans, His thoughts into our spirit. As we're in the Word, it separates and gets our thoughts out of the way, demonic thoughts out of the way, where we can hear God directly. That's what that means. Are you with me? All right. And so much of the unrest we have in our life is that we really don't have a word from God. Oh, we get many prophecies, but prophecies do you no good until you are in the Word for your... Hear me now. Because we will question, well, what does that mean? Or is it now? And so many people have ran with a word, interpreting that word out of their soul. Am I making sense to... anybody here? All right, I want to make sure I'm tracking, because I might need to put something another way. When you hear a prophecy, you know your mind's going busy. How many knows when you hear a prophecy, I'm thinking, I got to retain this or the recording this. Yeah. And so many people come up later and say, can you tell me again what you said? And the answer is no, because if you tell you again, I'm going to tell you out of my soul. Because my soul is going to try to recall. But when the prophecy is given, it only is given once. And that's given out of the Spirit. Are you with me? And so, if we are people in the Word, hearing the Lord for ourselves, when we get a prophetic word, our spirit goes, absorbs it. And we may not have mental understanding of it, but we sometimes don't need to. Glory to God. Are you with me? All righty. Number three, this is where I want to pick up today. We need to get a revelation of Christ in us to come into this rest. Now, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 25, the Apostle Paul is speaking to this church at Colossae. He's telling us why he's been made a minister. I love it. This is His mission statement right here. This is why God called him to begin with. He says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. When he says to fulfill the word of God, he's talking about the prophecies of old. Verse 26. He says, even the mystery, the word of God that I am to fulfill in your life has been a mystery. And it has been hidden, look at that, from ages and from generations. In other words, what God has given to this dispensation of time, the church, it was hid from Abraham. It was hid from Moses. It was hidden from the prophet Isaiah. It was hidden from Elijah. It was hidden from Elisha. It was hidden from Jeremiah. It was hidden. I tell you, I know how to hide things, not even intentionally. How many here can hide things? I bought a Christmas present years ago for my mom and dad for Christmas, like in the summer. I hid that. It is still hid today. I have moved from that place, and when we moved, it was still hid. I knew I would find it when we moved. I did not find it. I used to hide Easter eggs. I could hide 4 dozen eggs and we would only find 2 dozen. But God can hide things better than I can. Amen? Sometimes this morning I hid my shoes. I'm in sandals today. For Mother's Day, Jesse got me something that would beep if I needed my car keys. Just call it up. It's still hidden from me because I don't know how to program it. But how many knows God had something in plain view hidden? Plain view hidden. And this is it. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now, say now, made manifest to his saints. We get to know something that the prophets of old could not see. They saw it but couldn't see it. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among. Now, it don't make, we just read this. But then to hear this next word, I mean, it frustrated some people. He says, the mystery among the Gentiles, the chosen people of God, Father Abraham, Moses, the lawgiver. It was hidden. Jews. But now, in this dispensation, God is going to let us see what they saw but didn't understand. And this is the mystery to us, the believers, Jews and Gentiles. Glory to God. And here it is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in Sharon. Christ is in you. He is in you. He is the hope of glory. It is Christ in you. So, Jubilee is in us. The rest is in us. The anointing is in us. Righteousness is in us. The Prince of Peace is in us. Let's go to another scripture to bring it home a little more. 1 John 4:15. If you're saved and you know it, say, amen. It says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Where does God dwell? And where does he dwell? And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is what? So love is in us. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is, so are we in this world. You don't need a WWJD bracelet if you get a revelation of this. As he is, so are we in this world. Say it with me. As he is, so are we in this world. Come on, let's do it 3 times. As he is, so are we in this world. One more time. As he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18. There is no fear in love. People don't come into the rest because of fear. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. How are we made perfect in love? Ponder that for a minute. A revelation of a difference. Christ is in us. And because Christ is in us, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so is Sharon in this world. So why do we marvel when the world won't accept us? They did not accept him. Why do we marvel when we stand out because he stood out? You see, a lot of people compromise today because they don't want to be different. They don't want to go against the grain. And it used to be you went against the worldly grain. Now you go against the religious grain, or you go against the... You fill it in. Jesus is loved, so are we. As Jesus is in this world, so am I. That's my confession. Are you with me? I started confessing this when I got a hold of this verse not long ago. And I started confessing, as Jesus is in this world, so am I. Sharon is as Jesus is in this world. I said all different ways. Sharon is as Jesus is in this world. As soon as I said that, the devil wanted to try it. I mean, I got, and have you been through that? It's like, and then it dawned on me, the power in that confession. Satan hates that confession. Because the more you confess it, it becomes a revelation to you. And I start, and offense came, and I don't mean somebody pulling out in front of me on the highway. That happens all the time anymore. Have you noticed people are crazy on the highways? I'm not talking about that. That's life. I'm talking about heart issues, getting hit and getting hit and when you try to get up, get hit again. Things that affect you emotionally deep within your inner being. And I kept saying, as Jesus is in this world, so am I. Jesus forgave. As Jesus forgave in this world, so I will forgive. Are you still here? He forgave. Jesus did not carry offense. Jesus was not bitter. Jesus did not retaliate in a wrong spirit. As Jesus is in this world, so am I. Jesus had compassion because Jesus has compassion. As he was in this world, so am I. Jesus wept over the people because they were scattered like sheep without a shepherd. He cried over Jerusalem. And I begin to think, when's the last time I cried over sin and the lost? When is the last time I have wept because people are dying and going to hell? People that I know, people that I love are on their way to hell and they don't even realize it. When have I wept? When have I wept because so many pulpits have become silent with concerning the truth of the gospel? When have I wept? Jesus wept. As he is in this world, so is Sharon. Maybe if we start allowing the fruit of Holy Spirit, which is joy, love, and peace, and temperance, and goodness, and kindness, and meekness, and all of these things, this fruit start growing as he is in this world, so am I. Maybe I will see the dead raised, the blind healed, the lame walk. Are you with me? Because as he is in this world, so am I. Jesus wasn't stressed. He was always immediately going here and straightway going here and being pulled on by these and being asked by others. And he tries to go to someone's house to get some rest. And they crowd the house and tear up the roof. But as he is in this world, so am I. In other words, he didn't get stressed when things didn't go his way. It's good preaching this morning. Jesus wasn't manipulated, even by his family, his mothers, and his siblings. Come, and he's in the middle of a sermon, and they interrupt his sermon to let him know, your mama wants you. He basically said, who is my mother? Who is my, it's these right here. Mother's Day didn't cure that one. As he is in this world, so am I. The kingdom of God came first. He loved God above all. Are you with me? Jesus wasn't fearful. Jesus never got sick. And I heard somebody say that's only because he lived to be 32, 33. No, Jesus, I was sick before I was that age. How about you? Jesus didn't have cancer. Jesus didn't have heart problems. He didn't have sugar diabetes. He didn't have high blood pressure. Are you with me? He didn't stay up at night. And I'm not condemning anybody. What I'm saying is God has a standard up here. He wants to lift us all up. Jesus wasn't obese. Jesus didn't have a drinking problem. He didn't have a substance abuse problem. He wasn't addicted to tobacco. Jesus lived a standard that he is our example, looking unto Jesus as he is in this world. So these areas where I don't see myself looking like Jesus, are you with me? I keep confessing, as he is in this world, so am I. If Christ is in me, he doesn't need to be sick. So I command sickness to go. As he is in this world, so am I. All right. Jesus was never broke. He was never poor. And he had a lot of financial situations. Like Peter opening his big mouth saying we will pay taxes when they didn't even have to pay certain taxes. And Jesus said, go fishing. Or there's a multitude, 5,000 men plus women, plus children, 20 to 30,000 people. All he has is a boy's lunch. He blessed it, he broke it, and he fed the multitude. Say, as Jesus is in this world, so am I. But Jesus was love. So he loved, I love. So he forgave, I forgive. So he was about his father's business, so am I. Say, listen to anointed preaching. Turn to somebody and say that. Turn to somebody else and say, get in the Word of God. Now say to yourself, meditate and confess that Christ is in me, the hope of glory. As he is in this world, so am I. Now, closing. Every time I say closing, I think of baseball. What about that Pirates game the other night? Go into overtime. What we had, three home runs in a row? Three home runs in a row. Say, go Pirates. Okay. Number four. Anointed music. Turn to your neighbor and say, anointed music. What does that have to do with Jubilee? I am so glad you wanted to know. You came to church this morning and said, what? I got to know what anointed music has to do with Jubilee. Not, right? Okay. Well, you're going to know anyway. Jubilee is the word Yovel. Say Yovel. From the word Jabal or Jabal or Jabel, however you want to say it. What does that have to do with music? Go to Genesis chapter 4. I'm talking about, this is concluding this set of series on Jubilee. I may do more later. Praise God. I want us to get Jubilee in our spirit. I want us to have Jubilee. I want us to experience Jubilee. Genesis 4:19 in Lamech. Took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other was Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such that dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. Good for him. But look at who his brother was. Verse 21. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. What does that mean? He created musical instruments. Jubilee came out of his name. Now, we can just fly over this, but I want to paint a picture to you. Satan is in heaven. His job in heaven, it's been said, was a worship leader. Now, truthfully, all archangels were worshipers. But in his very being were musical instruments, Lucifer. In other words, Lucifer in heaven before sin was found in him and he was cast out of heaven. It would be as if he would exhale and an orchestra would play out of his very being. He provided a lot of worship in heaven. And when sin was found in him, Jesus says, I saw him like lightning being cast. In other words, when he tried to rise up against God and take the throne, it was just like a split second. He's to the earth and with all those who went with him. He gets cast to the earth, and of course, I won't go in this long teaching, but Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God, that means recreated the heavens and the earth. He cast Satan down to the earth, and because he cast Satan to the earth, it basically went into the dark age, or the ice age, because the earth became without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the earth. And then the Holy Spirit began to brew over this. So the earth could be billions of years old. All right? Not since God recreated it, though. Holy Spirit brewed over, and God said, and a recreation took place. God made man, placed him in the garden. Man sinned, man fell. We know the story. But here, early on in creation, a man rises up and creates instruments. Can you see Satan? He goes to and fro in the earth. He's a prince, the power of the air. He has dominion. He thought he had it all. And God raises up a man to do what he used to could do. Because he was stripped of that beauty. He was stripped of those gifts when he was cast into the earth. And he hears the sound that used to sound like him. Say restoration. Therefore, we have the word Jubilee. Now, how does that apply to us today? We need to spend time listening and letting worship sweep over our souls. When you put worship on in your home, your car, you create an atmosphere of glory. I'm not talking about just music that has the name Jesus in it. I'm talking about anointed music. It will change your atmosphere. I know it works. I was flying one time. I was so tired. I was bored. And I was too tired to read. And you know how uncomfortable it is on flights. I mean, they make the seats for midgets, don't they? I shouldn't say that, for very, very tiny people. And there's no leg room, there's no arm room, there's, you know, you're sitting there. And I'm on this long, long flight, hours and hours long. I thought, at that time we had CD players with headsets. And I put on some Integrity music and just closed my eyes and sat back. And all of a sudden, heaven came down in that seat where I was at. And, you know, when you have headsets on, you talk real loud. You know what I'm talking? So I'm talking to the Lord. But I'm talking to him like this. I'm probably way off key. And I sense warmth. And it was because two people, one on each side, were like this, checking me out. I said, "You want to listen?" I sat back. They left me alone. But heaven came. I was traveling to Florida one time. And I'm just thinking, and I put my worship music on. And all of a sudden, the hills and the sky, everything was so beautiful and breathtaking. Why? Because Juba Lee. Father, we thank you. We can come into that rest no matter what situation of life we're in, no matter what we're facing, what we're dealing with, what we're going through, what life hands us, as you are in this world, so am I. Ha! Thank you, Lord, for a revelation of a difference. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."